Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us. A lot to get to today. Rhea Hughes will join us. We'll talk about the end of the Flyer season on Saturday night. A good weekend for the Phillies. Some NFL schedule leaks out there. A lot to get to. And, of course, we start with a debacle and an embarrassment yesterday afternoon with the Philadelphia 76ers. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, Kyle. That was a tough weekend, man. It was the tale of two fan bases, the tale of two organizations going in two different directions. You know, I think there's a lot of positivity when it comes to, you know, the Flyers, even though the outcome was what it was.
Yep.
But I think with the Sixers, it's going to be a lot of soul searching and figuring out what to do next. That's what it kind of feels like when you talk about the 76ers.
Well, it does. And I think there's a clear path the Sixers need to take, as hard as that might be for some people to hold on to or believe. Here's where I'm at after yesterday. And yesterday was truly an embarrassing basketball game. That was a Knicks shoot-around in the first quarter. The amount of defense being played was so minimal. It felt like the Knicks were out there without any Sixers on the floor, like a shoot-around before the game. I looked up at one point, and the Sixers were down 25, down 30 at one point. When I turned it off, and God bless you if you kept going. I mean, bless your heart if you kept going. When it was 118-79, that's when I just hit the click, and I was like, I'm done with this basketball team for today and a while. We have a sad Mother's Day tradition around here. What was it, 2019 against the Raptors, the Kawhi shot? 2023, the Mother's Day massacre up in Boston. And then whatever the hell yesterday was. Hugh, that game... And we'll get to all the ancillary parts around what happens next. But that game yesterday was such a feeble basketball game by the Sixers. They just were just boat raced in their own building. The amount of defense being played was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. It was tough to watch. And like you said, I think at one point they got it close to like 15, and then the Knicks would put their foot in the gas pedal. And like I said, there was a lot of Knicks fans down here this weekend. I mean, I'm not...
Is this not I told you so?
No, it's not. It's definitely not I told
wow.
you so. But I
wow.
Like I said, Joe, I kind of understood it. Because there's a lot of fans, diehard fans, that have been dealing with this process for a long time. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, the message to come to the building and support the team when they were playing well, a lot of people didn't buy it. And that's kind of how I looked at it. I looked at it like, you know, it was a noble sentiment by Joel Embiid, but I felt like there were going to be a lot of fans that felt some type of way about the messenger. And that's why I said what I said. It's not I told you so. It's just more so kind of reading the room a little bit.
Well, listen, I'm not surprised yesterday had a lot of Knicks fans. I mean, after Friday night's nonsense, I mean, people not going yesterday did not surprise me. I mean, I wasn't surprised at that. The whole thing is just unfortunate, though. And, you know, I got to tell you how I feel this morning, because I feel a certain way after watching the game. I feel like a fool. I feel like a fool because, like a lot of us, I got excited last Saturday, right? They go to Boston. They win a Game 7. It's one of the best wins they've had in a very long time. And I fooled myself into thinking they might be different. They're not different. It's the same thing. The irony of the Sixers is that when they started their process all those years ago, and I know we're so far past the beginning of that, right? It's been multiple executives and coaches and blah, blah, blah. But when we started the whole thing, the whole point was to build a team that's not stuck in the middle, right? That is good enough to compete for a championship. Because before, they were stuck in the middle, and they were like, this isn't going to work. Let's blow it up and start over.
Mm-hmm.
They are that. The irony is they are the dog chasing their tail. They went from being the team stuck in the middle, took a sledgehammer to it, and a decade later, we wake up, and they're still stuck in the middle. They are not even close to the level of the best teams in the NBA. They're not. They're not deep enough. Their stars aren't good enough.
That's what kind of jumped out to me yesterday is the fact that they don't have enough shooters. Their bench wasn't deep enough. And when their main guys get a little tired, that's when, you know, the cracks start to show in armor.
Of course. I mean, they're not deep enough. And also their main guys aren't good enough. I mean, yesterday, this whole series showed it. The Knicks players just ran circles around this thing. 215-592-9494. I feel like a fool for believing the Sixers could be different. Could we hear from Nick Nurse yesterday in what he saw in the elimination game for his team?
Well, they obviously came out pulling super fast, and we had another, you know, scenario. I thought, you know, first five possessions, I think four of them were wide open threes, didn't make any of them, I think, and they were running off those rebounds and obviously scoring in transition. We got we did a poor job of communicating in transition. The energy obviously was a big gap between their energy and our energy, I thought. Found dug ourselves a big hole that we could never really get out of.
No, I mean, they had no shot in that basketball game yesterday. It's rare you see a basketball game in the NBA today where you know the game is over after the first quarter. I mean, you just that game yesterday was like, oh, okay, this is just not going to – today's not their day. Just like Friday wasn't their day, and Game 2 wasn't their day, and Game 1 wasn't their day. It is a joke. 215-592-9494. Let's react to the end of the Sixers season. Only the Sixers could find a way to have us all feel a certain way last weekend and then 8 days later feel the complete opposite way. And as I sit here this morning – you know, there's a lot of thoughts. I feel like a fool for thinking different. I feel like a fool for getting fooled by this team again.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt something a few years ago, and I feel vindicated on that. And unfortunately, I do. And I feel another thing today. A few years ago, I felt like there was just no way they'd ever win a championship with Joel Embiid. I still feel that way. They will never win a championship with Joel Embiid. Yesterday felt like the Joel Embiid era ended. It ended yesterday. Now, how long they hold on to this, how long they wait to recognize it, how long he has to stay here because of a contract that is a joke, I don't know. I mean, we could have to take the death march for the next 2 years until they could dump him. But I know this. Yesterday, the Joel Embiid era ended. On his home court, on the court, his team was down by 1 point at 47. He can never be the best player on a championship team. He never could. And it's even less likely now. The Sixers need to move off of Joel Embiid as the sun, the moon, and the stars of the basketball team. It's the only way. I mean, they have to. They have to turn this thing over to Maxey and Edgecombe. That's it. And whether that means Joel Embiid is dumped for anything they could get, I don't care. And whether that means they make him a part-time player, which he is anyway, I don't care. Yesterday, the first three possessions of the game, the Knicks attacked him. He was such a liability on defense at the end of the series that his offense didn't even matter anymore. He was pretty good offensively yesterday, right? He got 24 points. He didn't miss a shot. And yet his team was down by 47. Hugh, I don't know if I've ever seen a player that is more this much away from what they used to be to where he was a liability on defense. It was like they were laughing. Mitchell Robinson dunking over him on Friday night.
Yeah,
and then yesterday,
the people had the pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he had points. It felt like he was unplayable. He was unbelievably bad on defense. To me, the Embiid era is over. It's just a matter of when we want to accept it.
I hear what you're saying, Joe. And I know a lot of people probably feel like that. But there were moments in this where you saw the big man, you know, show his contribution.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Joe,
but
it
Hugh,
is.
But, that's not how championships are won.
A
moment here and a moment there is not how this works.
Joe, I hear you. But when you talk about the money that he's made and the contribution that he brings to the team, Jimmy Lynam said it to me best. He wasn't to me when he said it at the end of the season when they were doing the post game and they were talking about how this team moves forward from this. He said they need somebody that can play defense that can shoot.
Yeah.
They need some. To me, I read that as getting some help for Joel Embiid because he's going to be here.
Yeah.
So you need to get another big man.
Hugh.
You need to get it. I'm just telling you, Joe.
Joe. I'm not going to get mad today, but if you want to live in La La Land, live there. This will never work. Never work.
I'm living in the reality of what this situation is.
That's fine.
You resigned Joel. We got Joel Embiid for like three more seasons.
I didn't resign anybody.
Okay. Like how you absorb.
Well, I wasn't part of that.
Okay, but he's going to be here for three more years, right?
No, that's not true.
He got three more years. Sure. Okay, he got three more years left on his deal
but
here.
I would be surprised if he's here for all 3 years.
Okay, but he's going to be here next year. But
maybe. Probably.
He's going to be here next year. So with that being said, Joe, knowing what we know about his playoff appearances, I think the best thing to do going into next season is get another big man that can actually play.
Yeah.
Get another big man that can play.
This has been the story every year.
You.
I don't want to hear it anymore. No, I'm being honest. Get Joel Embiid a backup. If he's healthy, he's going to play all the minutes. So what's the backup going
to
do?
That's the thing, Joe. You're going to have to figure out a way to keep him healthy and do it for the betterment of the squad.
All right.
That's what you're going to have to do, but he's going to be here.
Yeah, he played half the games this year. Half the games this year. Keep him healthy. How many games are you going to play next year? 20? What's the This whole thing is a waste of everyone's time.
I hear you, and I'm not arguing the point that you're making, but that's the situation that we're in right now.
Well, until they get creative. That's what their job is, to get creative. Like, I'm not going to just accept he has to be here for three more years. I'm not going to do it.
Where's your boy? The one that makes the decision.
Well, he ran off to Chicago to the combine.
Got important business.
Yeah, he does. All right. Can we hear from Joel Embiid yesterday after the game? Let's hear about him. He doesn't know if his future is going to be here in Philadelphia.
All right, VJ is going. I know, and I'm going to talk to him. He's going to be better, and he was amazing for his first year. Tyrese is going to be better, and he's taking a step every single year. PG that we saw the last couple of weeks, he still got it. And then everybody else, I don't know who's going to be here. I don't even know if I'm going to be here, but, whatever happens, happens. For me, I'm excited about, really getting back to myself.
That's wonderful. It really is. Let's also hear this from Joel Embiid, because this, of all the things that got me yesterday after the game, this was the one. You know, once in a while, you get a tone-deaf press conference around here, and this counts. Here's Joel Embiid yesterday. Well, listen to this, Hugh. Listen to what he said after the game about the season.
Yeah, I mean, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. I know we lost, and I know that's not the right mentality to have, but, for me, this was a success. I came into this year not knowing where I was going to be, how long I was going to play, if I was even going to play based on how the knee was the last, the last few years. And, I came in hoping for the best. And I feel like we're in a position where we figured out the knee. Hasn't been an issue.
What do you got?
I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Okay.
Joe, here's the thing. You have to realize who you're dealing with, right? And you're giving yourself agita for nothing and knowing that that's kind of how he's been in all his press conferences.
Okay, it's a loser take. Could we be real? He played 38 basketball games this year, and for the 10th consecutive season, he did not get out of the second round. His team got beat yesterday like a drum on his home court.
Not arguing
that. He was down. I know you're not arguing that, but how could I be okay with him saying the season was a success?
Because
that is a loser way to talk. It's a loser mentality. It's why, he's the only MVP in the history of professional basketball to never get out of the second round. And that quote is why. He has a loser mentality. I'm done. Every May, it's the same thing. They will never win a thing with him on the basketball team. Ever. Ever. I just, how could he, a success? And then he's up there joking and he brings the kid? It's like Sirianni a couple years ago. It is freaking embarrassing.
Sirianni went and won the Super Bowl.
Well, he did. And guess what? Joel Embiid won't win a damn thing. A damn thing. You go ahead, defend him.
I'm not.
Go ahead, defend him, dude.
Defend him. That's not what I'm doing. What I need you to try to understand is that's his mentality. That's the mentality that
I told you what the mentality is. Yeah, he's a loser.
You feel that, but it's unfortunate that he sat there and he said what he said. That's why I had a feeling that it was probably going to be the ratio in the stadium was going to be what it was, because people hear that, the diehard Philadelphia, the Sixers fans and the 4-for-4s, yeah, and they don't believe what's being said. Because I will acknowledge to you that it is mixed messages, because on one hand, you talk about how we need you in the stadium and how you need to support us, right? And then on the other hand, when you get handled the way that you got handled in that last game, and you sit there with a straight face and say you had a good season, I'm not defending him, but I'm trying to figure out how he's thinking. And he was asked, coming from the season that he had last season when he didn't play a lot, to play this year and then have the type of success that he had in spurts in the playoffs, that's probably what he's looking at.
Okay, I'll try to calm down and just say this in a more grown-up way.
In a non-hostile way?
He's not a championship player, and he doesn't have championship mentality. Think about the players that win championships and how they talk when they lose, and then think about what you just heard there. Kobe Bryant looked like he wanted to kill someone when he got knocked out of the playoffs. Joel Embiid sits up there after playing 38 games, and his team was down 47 points at home yesterday in an elimination game, and he sat up there saying this was a success for me?
I get it.
Why would I want to watch this guy play basketball anymore? And get out, man. Go somewhere else. It's a joke. They can't grow because he's here. And his mentality permeates the whole thing. Play when I want to play. Play when I can play. Play defense when I can. Try my best. It is exhausting. Yesterday was the biggest embarrassment. Yesterday wasn't the Knicks fans. It was that after the game. 215-592-9494. All right, what do you got today? Because I'm not happy. Kyle, what do you got?
I don't know if I want to say anything. I'm a little scared over here.
Biting up everybody.
No, I'm not.
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
If I was a Karen, I'd be in HR right now.
Okay.
If my name was Karen, I'd be running HR because you hurt my feelings.
I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about going to HR.
My feelings are hurt. Yeah, I'm thinking about going to HR.
Well, my sensibilities were hurt yesterday by the basketball team.
I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable in my work environment right now.
All right, guys, come on. What do you got?
The Embiid era should obviously be over, but there's no way it's going to be.
No, it's not.
Daryl Morey is headed to Chicago to do some scouting. Like, that sounds to me like we know what his future is. Sounds like they're going to do the Nurse and Morey are going to be back again. And Morey's not going to move off of Joel Embiid. Like, it's obvious they're just going to run this back status quo. So, like, I'm not getting my hopes up. But the Embiid comment about my season being a success, like one of the more tone deaf things I can remember a Philadelphia athlete saying.
I mean, but it's not the first time, though.
That's why I said one of. It's definitely not the. I've probably heard plenty. I'd have to come up with a list. But it's kind of funny, though. Like, if he had just reversed the order in which he said it, like, he was like, I know we lost, but my season was a success. If he had just been like, you know, I'm glad that I finished the season healthy, but
we lost.
But we went out sad. Just more tone-deaf nonsense from Joel Embiid. But am I excited about some things? The VJ thing, yeah. Maxie? Like, yeah, that's fun.
That's fun. Coming to his own.
Yeah.
They still don't have a player that I'm sitting here thinking, like, we can build around this guy, and it's that's a championship player.
Not definitely.
They don't. And I don't have any faith that, you know, that they can make the philosophical change that this thing does not have to go through Joel Embiid, or Joel Embiid's not number one option anymore. They're effed, as I can't really come up with a better word to say. That's how it feels, man.
Oh, wow. That's a horrible thing to say, but yes, it's tough. I get it. It's tough.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown starts us off. What do you got, Chris?
Joe is tired of our mess.
I'm tired of the Sixers. Not tired of you from your mess. I mean, I'll
give it some time.
Yeah.
We just got
it. Give you a little time.
Yeah. I mean, I might stand up today. Chris, what do you got?
Happy Groundhog Day,
That's
Joel.
Exactly what it is, Chris.
You heard him call you Joel.
I know. I might be Joel today. What do you got, Chris?
We need you, Joel. We need you locked in today. Stay true to yourself. All right, guys. I got some news here. Sixers lose in the second round. Shocker. Anybody surprised out there? Embiid led team quits before the game is over. Again, another shocker. Anyone who's surprised by any of this? Hugh, you know, they're just a moron. They all need to unite because they're lost people. Can't help them. I know you're not surprised, but no one's surprised. Anyone who wants to hold the parade and celebrate their season's success, Joel Embiid, you're a loser, okay? Like, this process, Joel Embiid was an epic failure. They never got past the second round. All of his teams roll over like a bunch of female dogs every single time, and they have no heart. They're nothing but tin men out there, just empty inside, no heart. This is a complete contrast from a Flyers team that we saw get blanked the other way, who was completely overmatched, but you know what? Right down to the last second, they never stopped fighting. Even if they were laying on the ground, they would lift a finger to try to trip the opposing team because they would do anything to the last moment. And the Sixers' mentality is a polar, complete opposite. As far as this Embiid championship and anybody out there that still thinks that they can win a championship with this, the guys, wake up and smell reality. It is gone, like Meatball Aaron's waistline, okay? It's completely gone, okay? So the team stinks. Embiid needs to be traded. And if you want to keep believing in these pipe dreams, you're crazy, okay? And, hey, speaking of gone, I think Mike Vrabel may get fired, and Hugh, everybody's going to need to apologize to you. So you know what? I took shots at Hugh, but you know what, bro? Hugh, I'm jumping on your side.
Oh, this is great.
I'm officially on the wagon. Stay strong, Hugh, because we're going to hold the line.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
All right. What's amazing is he comes in with everyone's delusional, moron. And the ends with he's delusional.
Even Hugh knows now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's when it crosses into sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's not looking good.
No, it hasn't looked good for months. I mean, that's...
We tried to tell you.
I was holding out hope for the Eagles' autism.
Different frequency.
Yeah, we're vibrating on a different frequency.
Yeah, y'all got it on.
Yeah,
y'all
I got it. Yeah, third eye. Yep, my third eye.
Yeah, two and a half weeks away, 3 weeks, what are we, three weeks away from it all.
Yeah, vibrating on.
It looks a little different. It looks like it's going to happen.
Let's go to Wendy and Wayne. Hey, Wendy.
Oh, hey. It's good to meet you. I listen all the time, but this is the first time I'm ever calling in.
Well, we appreciate you, Wendy. Wendy, what are you feeling today?
Well, so I've had season tickets to the Sixers for 44 years. It was the first thing I purchased when I graduated college. And so I have a long horizon, and some of the things I'm hearing fans say makes sense to me, and some things don't. But I've never been more personally offended than I was to hear Josh Harris disparage us in his comments after the game. You know, I'm not personally offended by... You think I almost...
Uh-oh.
Wendy, we're losing you a little bit.
Bye, Wendy.
Sorry.
What did you hear Josh Harris say?
That part faded out a little bit.
Oh, okay. So after the game, he said he made an off-color comment about the fans not showing up and there being a lot of Knicks fans. And, you know, I sit at those games on a Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and the stadium, the arena is 80% filled. And for him to make a comment...
Wendy, before you go, I just want to just question, because I haven't seen that. I didn't see it on camera. Did you see it like personally because you were there? Did you observe it?
WIP this morning, and I called in, and, you know, it was too busy. So I heard them. They played. Okay, so you have it in your studio.
Okay, all right. You know, Wendy, we're going to find that, and Wendy, we'll talk about it, and thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate you. I didn't hear that yet.
No, I didn't hear it either.
Is she talking about Josh Hart?
Maybe Josh Hart.
That's who she's talking about.
So, listen, if we have Josh Harris on record saying something about the fans,
from Josh Harris,
we will spend a lot of time on that, I promise everyone.
I have nothing from
Josh
Harris. I haven't
seen that either. Now, Josh Hart did take a swipe at Philadelphia as a sports town, the former Villanova star, and obviously what he's done with the Knicks. We'll get to that. Yeah, we got a lot to react to today. 215-592-9494. I think I've sufficiently calmed down a little bit, but... We'll see how many people Hugh Douglas defends today before I stand up. All right, we'll get to Rhea Hughes, who will not defend any of this crap coming up. Sixers swept by the New York Knicks. Your reaction, and where do you come down? It was yesterday the end of the Joel Embiid era. To me, it is in reality. Is it in practicality? No, I agree with you. I agree with Kyle. He's probably going to be here next year. I recognize the challenge of moving him off the roster. To me, the era ended yesterday. It's a matter of how quickly the Sixers could start their next era with him not part of it. That's the story in my mind. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. We can't go on believing this, Hugh.
I mean, what other choice do we have, man?
We are in a relationship. Yell and scream. I mean, you know.
We're in a relationship where we're adjusting as we go all the time.
No, I'm giving up adjusting. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show.
We in this thing for at least 3 more years.
No.
Oh, we can yell and give up. And
yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh, we can definitely yell.
Come on. Curse at each other.
Yeah. We can call each other mean and hurtful names. We can stand up.
I haven't stood up yet. All right, I'm not going to stand up this segment either because we have company here. Mondays with Rhea, brought to you by Xfinity, proud sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Rhea, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to not happily report that the nasty cold I acquired last Sunday has lasted longer than the Sixers series with the Knicks.
Well, so. That's what happens with sweeps.
Yes.
Cold can linger for 2 weeks.
Oh, it's lingering.
A sweep does not last that long. Rhea, your reaction yesterday as the Sixers go out. I mean, look, I think we all realized this was going to end soon after Friday night, after being down 0-3. But to be down 47 points at home in an elimination game is a new low. And the Sixers seem to find new lows every time they get knocked out of the playoffs.
This is true. Could they? Okay, they have to stop playing on Mother's Day and Father's Day.
So
because they got crushed on the Father's Day. Remember, that was when the season started late because of COVID.
That was the Atlanta Hawks when Ben went and dunked. So 2019 was the shot by Kawhi, yep. Mother's Day. 2021, Ben Wooden dunk against the Hawks. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. 3 years ago in Boston was the Mother's Day massacre up there, and then we get yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, no more.
We don't want to celebrate with you people anymore.
No more.
No, 5 minutes in. What bothered me the most, you can miss your shots, and obviously Maxi was, what, 1 for 7 from three. But you have to defend. Those shots that the Knicks were hitting, they were not being defended on.
It was a shoot-around.
It was a shoot-around.
It felt like there were no Sixers on the court. Yeah. I'm like, McBride is open again?
Again.
Can someone put a hand in his face?
It was remarkable. 5 minutes in, and I made it to the third quarter. And I think I text my sister, and I said, I'm torn between watching the rest of this game or just scrolling through my phone and
doom,
liking.
They call that doom.
No, I wasn't. I like a lot of pitbull videos. Anything okay. that has pitbulls on them, I love them. So I found myself sitting there and I'm watching the game and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. Oh, they just scored again. And I'm like, I was with you when it got to I think when Embiid sat down, I said, I think I'm free to go now.
So I was
I'm out of jail.
I was kind of half looking and half looking away, and then I looked up and it was 118-79. I was like, let's just turn this off.
Yeah, ain't nobody.
I've done yeoman's work here.
Yes, I've put in three quarters of this nonsense. Yeah. It was bad in a lot of ways. And you're right, the defense, it almost felt like they gave up yesterday defensively.
Gave up like 3 minutes into the game.
I know.
I've never seen anything like that. And the point was, you battled to come back from 3-1. It's not like it was completely impossible.
No.
But the minute they stepped on the court, it was impossible.
Well, they had no fight, and it was embarrassing. And Rhea, I was saying this, it feels ironic in a sad way, because like, when they started this thing all those years ago, right, they tore the team apart because they didn't want to be stuck in the middle, right? They wanted to build a great team.
Yeah.
Rhea, they're stuck in the middle. It's like a dog chasing its tail. It's the same story.
I want to say I told you all that karma was going to bite you all in the keister.
It did bite
but,
them.
But, it's because other teams, that was always the excuse. Well, this team tanked and this team. Well, they've all gotten better.
Yep.
They've all gone further.
Well, yes.
It was the problem was it was built upon a faulty foundation. When your foundation is built upon a player who was injured the first 2 years of his career. Now, the first one, you know, it was injury from high school, from college. But the second year was because he didn't rehab the injury. So it was built upon a faulty foundation.
Yeah, when you watch the teams in the playoffs right now, they either have one great star that's like durable and great, or they have an amazing depth, or both. Yeah. And we don't have either of those things here. We have some good players, but no depth to the team. And then there's the Embiid thing. Really, I want you to hear this one, because Embiid had quite the press conference yesterday. He pulled one out of the Sirianni playbook of bringing the kid to the press conference.
I will just say I had to bite my tongue this morning. Because I didn't like it. And we went after Sirianni on it. Really did.
It doesn't feel like it's the right spot. It isn't, again, the kid. I mean, the kid seems like a great
nothing
kid.
Nothing to get
you just
child.
Don't bring the kid there.
To a win, it's fine.
Yes. But even if you win, you're down 3-1. It's a weird spot.
But I'm okay with it. It doesn't hit odd.
It does. Yeah, but you're right. And Sirianni did bring the kid after a win. They did beat the Browns that day. Now,
well, it was the Browns.
It was the Browns.
And it was quite difficult.
And he did scream at the people in the crowd. I mean,
I'm sure Sirianni was sitting at home watching it last night going,
oh, they gave him grace.
Well, is he going to get killed like me?
Well, he shouldn't have brought the kid. I'll say it. It's a weird look. But here's one of the things he said yesterday. Let's hear Embiid on what he wants his legacy to be whenever he's done playing basketball.
No, I don't care. I got this beautiful young man. You guys might have taken away my chance to put my daughter to sleep. My wife is going to be extremely mad at me. That's all I care about. I got my family. I got, my kids. Hopefully, I get more. I got my mom, my dad. I don't know. I could care less about, what people think about me when it comes to basketball. I think I've done a lot of stuff off the court, so hopefully that's the part that's remembered, whether it's here in Philadelphia, all over the U.S., in Africa. And that's been my goal, my focus is just, keep doing, keep improving in these things and keep helping people. So, Yes, I mean, to answer your question, that's really what I want my legacy to be. You know, basketball is just a platform.
No, basketball is what you're paid to do.
Yeah, a lot
of
money.
I mean, I'm just, all those things are one, and he's, by all accounts, you know, never gets in any trouble. Good guy, seems like a great family man. Arthur's incredibly adorable.
Yep.
The question was asked about your basketball.
Not your life legacy,
no.
Your basketball legacy.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, to say basketball doesn't matter, it's what you're paid to do.
Well, I thought he hid behind the kid and his family there.
It's your job.
Like, yeah, like...
I mean, it's just your job.
Also, it's nobody there's fault. He has to do a press conference. He can't put the younger one to bed. That's his duty as an NBA player, right? They have to speak after the game. That's just like, well, you guys are making me late for bedtime. No, they're not. No, that's just your job, Joel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm listening and I'm cringing. I'm listening to you guys talk, and you're right, because you know, you're trying to humanize something that a lot of people, they get it, but they're not going to understand, because basketball is your livelihood.
You're having a news conference because
you
play basketball.
Yes, and
I mean, that's just
and you're and the thing is, you're reflecting, like, everything that you said is true,
and that's all great.
Yeah, it is about your legacy and what you've been able to put, the position you've been able to
put.
It's
like you have an amazing family. I mean, it's awesome.
But at that moment, it's really read the room.
It's about the game.
Nobody cares about all of that. Nobody cares about the fact that you have a great family, which I'm pretty sure you do, and I hope you're hearing this the right way if you're listening to it. None of that matters when you're talking to people.
After what just happened.
Like, and this is the reality. You're in a great spot, and I think this is where you have to keep it in perspective. Because there's a lot of people that made sacrifices to come to that game, to watch you play, to support you.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, not only that.
Did you see that one guy who was interviewed? I got to make it up to my mom somehow.
Yeah. Gas is high. Gas is high. And you know, people are making, you know, financial sacrifices. And you got to understand that some people, when they hear you say that, it rubs them the wrong way. That's the reality of it.
The question is about basketball.
Yeah. And to have that kind of effort out there, and then to sit there and say that, it's almost like a smack in the face to the average everyday person.
That wasn't the one. It was the success. That was the one that bothered me more than that. Because I expect players to do that now. So, but when you hear the quote, it's like, yeah, okay, look, we're talking to you about basketball. The success quote was the one that got me.
It makes me feel like it's when I think of some players, they die to win and lose. He doesn't. Mm. I mean, I it's not about physical toughness. I just don't think he cares about winning and losing the way some great players. Like, when Kobe Bryant lost the game, it looked like he wanted to die. Like, he didn't want it. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't wait till the next season. With Joel, it's like, well, I had a good season.
I mean, it's a success because you weren't sure you could play because of the knee. 38 games.
38.
Yeah.
And that's a success? Like, what's a not success?
No, yeah, I get it. I'm sitting here while you guys are talking about it, and I'm trying to figure out when there was the disconnect, because I grew up in an era where, you know, and I played with some guys. That's all that mattered.
Oh yeah, playing.
You know, the money was nice. The money's nice. The money puts you in a position to take care of your family, but the game and the legacy was something that meant more to you than anything else. It's tied to the money that they're making now.
The money's so out of whack.
Yeah,
it's hard to fathom it.
Because when you're talking about the money that they're making right now, you're immortalized, regardless if you like it or not. You know, and you know, we make fun and talk about the fact that, you know, when I talk about Tobias Harris and what he's been able to accomplish. Real, when you look at just the monetary standpoint, he's made a ton of money. Hasn't celebrated any All-Star appearances. Yeah. They playing his ass off in the playoffs.
Wait, didn't
now.
Somebody tell me he was a Hall of Famer?
Well, Dr. J.
Yeah.
Dr. J.
But that's the disconnect.
Yeah.
Because now you have guys. In order to be that upper echelon star back in the day, you had to go out there and ball out. And when you went out there and balled out, the money was parallel to the way that you played. Nowadays, it's not like
that. Well, and it's not like, I mean, the NFL... Outside of the very top echelon, they can cut you at any time.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, you have to play with an edge in that game.
That's the difference. And it's not, that's just the way guys see it now. Because it's like, their success, a lot of times, and I don't know if this is Joel Embiid's in the way that he thinks about it, but success nowadays is tied to how much money you make. It's not tied to how many championships you have.
But I don't think that's most athletes. I think
it's a lot more than it has been in the past.
Maybe. I mean, there's more money now. But like, Let's just use another one here in town. Could you ever imagine Jalen Hurts going to the podium after an Eagles playoff loss and saying, my season was a success?
Again, different mentality.
That's the problem. Yeah. But Joel doesn't have Jalen's mentality.
But even in football, it's starting to change, though, Joe. Because think about.
But could you ever imagine Jalen? Let's use Jalen as the example. Jalen Hurts going to the podium, Eagles losing the playoffs. I had a good season.
He
would never.
Because the money is a part of it, but you only got 17 chances to prove somebody wrong, and basketball is different.
Well, how about Bryce? I can't imagine Bryce doing that.
Bryce, you're talking about he had a good season. All depends on what happens this year. Because he has had a bounce back season.
Yeah, but again, I can't imagine Bryce at the podium saying, I found my season a success
after losing the playoffs. His president of baseball operations put him in the mode of having to defend himself.
Yeah.
I mean, when he said he wasn't elite.
You really don't think Bryce would do that?
That's what I'm about to say.
I could so easily see Bryce doing that.
Bryce,
he just did the thing where ask everybody else.
I don't know.
He just did that.
I can't see it at the post game after they get knocked out of the playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong. If it happens this year, it happens this year.
If there's one guy I wouldn't put it past, it's probably Bryce.
Yeah.
It just feels so tone deaf.
I'm talking about the night of.
Not like in retrospect, I had a good year.
Yeah, not like the exit interview two days after.
Like they walked off the court and he's holding his kid saying, I had a successful year.
But see, and
dude, if he went 4-for-4 with a home run and they lost.
And here's another thing with Joel
Embiid.
Well,
I'd yell at him too if he did it.
Here's another thing that I feel with Joel Embiid. Now, I don't know if this is to be true, but I feel like for Joel Embiid, when he talks a lot of times and when he said what he's talking about, he's weighing the scrutiny over what he's been through, and then he's trying to, I guess come to grips about the kind of season they had dealing with all the stuff that he had to deal with during this season. That's what it kind of sounds like to me, Joe. And when it comes off and when fans
the thing is, he knows it's going to come off. He goes, I know this is not the mentality.
Yeah, but that's how he feels.
And you know, and here's the thing is, we've spent all this time talking about Embiid when my number one problem is Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the guy who conveniently
hopped
on a plane. By the way, there's a 6:30 a.m. flight to Chicago that leaves out of Philadelphia. Could have gotten on that one.
Also, Rhea, they don't have a top 5 pick in the lottery. He has a 22nd pick. I'm not saying he shouldn't be there, right? If he's going to run the team, he should go to the combine. But like,
yeah, but the priority is not as great.
Right? Like,
as
if they had a top 5,
you have a staff for that.
Yes,
you have a staff. You have scouts for it.
If
you
had to evaluate the number one overall player, that's like, I got to get there. He ran away.
He leaves stuff for Nick Nurse to handle. You know, and I haven't always been thrilled with his coaching. That man doesn't know if he's going to have Embiid till Friday.
Yeah.
When did they announce that Embiid was playing? What, like an hour before?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him, but he's got to take his bullets. Maxi is up there being asked about the acquisition. That is the funniest thing.
Him being asked about the McCain thing and the trade deadline?
Because he's like, and you just see VJ. VJ puts his head in and he's looking down like, I'm a rookie. I'm out on this one. I mean, it was embarrassing.
You put him in bad spots. You put him in bad spots to ask the questions
exactly,
that she didn't answer.
Because you're not here to answer them.
Yeah. You said Nurse. Did you see the moment on camera yesterday? I think it was towards the end. Brett Brown in his final series as Sixers coach slumped his head back, Hugh. Like he just said, I'm done, right?
John actually had a great line. He said, I'd like to see what Nick Nurse looked like at the beginning of his tenure with the Sixers.
Yeah.
And now, kind of like
how high age.
Well, how presidents age in 4 years.
He's aging like a sitting president.
Yes.
He's aging in dog years. I mean, it's crazy. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
You know, Joel said something earlier in that one clip you guys played about, I need to get back to my old self. No, dude, you don't. We don't want you to be your old self, because all you've done is lost in the second round every single time, and all you do is play maybe half the games, and you scored 24 points last night and 5 rebounds, and nobody got a body on any of those three-point shooters. You played 0 defense, 5 rebounds. Dude, you're 7'2". Get the ball.
You know what I noticed, Jeff? Speaking of his body and how he can't do what he needs to do anymore, I noticed a couple times yesterday where instead of trying to get the rebound on defense, he just started backing up so he wouldn't be beat down the floor.
Trying to get in position.
Cheating.
He was cheating. Yeah. He was cheating because he knows he can't sprint with everybody
anymore.
Else.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's still a skilled enough offensive player that he's viable on that end because he could shoot. But on the defensive side, it's night and day from what he used to be.
It was embarrassing, and it's a shame because I want them to trade him, but I don't think they will. And also, Bryce Harper already did that earlier this year when the team was really struggling. And the reporters were asking him about, he's like, I don't know about the other guys.
He said, ask everyone else.
All right, Bryce Harper will do it.
All right. I meant specifically after a playoff loss.
You might want to adjust that.
Well, we could go back. I can't remember one.
Based upon new information, Bryce is off of this
all
list.
Right. Bryce is a maybe. I can never imagine Hurts doing
it. No, give him a chance. Yeah. I think
Jalen, I don't think would ever even.
Jalen would never do that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, Jalen's mentality is better than all theirs. Yeah.
Harper would.
Harper might.
Based upon new information, Harper probably would.
I kind of feel bad for Maxey and Edgecombe because they had to play so many minutes. Yeah. I'm not giving an excuse that they were tired, but they can't continue to carry the load when you don't have anyone else around you.
And I do think Maxey's finger played a role in his shooting dropping off. I mean,
because
he was a different player from the Boston series to this series, and just felt like he didn't want to go to the
basket. He got jammed again, he said, in that game seven.
Yeah, and if he's not shooting, they just can't score enough.
And I am looking forward to next year with the Flyers. They do have something going on here.
Well, what a contrast, Jeff. You know, Saturday night, right? The people cheering, let's go Flyers, after they lose in overtime compared to whatever the reaction was at the end of that game. And Jeff, good phone call. Marie,
they competed.
Yes.
They competed.
They fought hard, man.
They made people proud. I mean,
But they've got to change it for next year. I mean, they've got to.
They're not good enough.
Jonesy
yet.
And company, those guys, they've got to fill in the holes that they have. But it was when that puck went out, I was like, I was bummed, but I wasn't mad.
It was almost like you're bummed you're not going to be able to watch the Flyers anymore until next year. With the Sixers, I couldn't wait for the minutes to tick off the clock.
That game felt like it went on for hours.
You know, I still was holding out hope.
It was an easy one to turn off at halftime, dude.
15,
sorry.
Cut it to 15. But then the reality kicked in when, you know, Ernie and those guys out there with the brooms. And I was like, might well go home and start doing something else.
The Flyers, I felt more bad for the players, like the guys on the team, that it was over.
Yeah.
And with the effort that they put in, I think all the fans are sort of on the same page. Good job.
Yeah,
that's the start, and we'll adjust our expectations accordingly from here on out.
Yeah, you feel good when the Flyer season ends with the Sixers, and I think the other part of it, Rhea, is the Flyers. This is the first year of the whatever this is going to be with the Sixers. Yeah. I don't even know what year it is.
Three guys on max contracts. Like the Flyers should not have been there.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to Dennis in Newtown. Dennis,
hey. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dennis. Man.
Bad, bad, bad weekend for Philly sports. So, hey, you. How's the quest to become a professional baseball player going for you?
Well, you know, we're in the talking phase. You know, I reached out to Ryan Howard Friday. he laughed.
Why don't you tell everyone what he said?
He had a hearty laugh. He had a hearty laugh. Has not gotten back to me yet.
There's a shock.
He's like, what the hell?
I think he needs something that he feels like he can work with if he's going to do that.
Well, he gave me a point. He said he told me I was swinging with too much body. He said I had too much body.
Has he seen you?
Yeah.
It's a lot of body there.
Yeah. And Hugh, buddy, don't worry. You got plenty of time to figure this out in life.
I got time.
Yep. Still early.
Listen, yesterday, I don't want to single anybody out. It was an epic fail from tip off to the end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, every aspect. I've been watching pro sports since the 60s. I don't think I've seen a whooping like that, especially on the Sixers side. But I'll tell you, I was up in New York yesterday visiting my daughter. My wife and I were up there, and we went into a bar. What a mistake that was. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
You didn't have any Sixers gear on, did you?
That's the first lesson of combat that I learned. When you go into enemy territory, you never have.
Good.
You never have anything on.
You got to go in that neutral, dog. You got to go in that neutral.
But I got to tell you what, I would have been able to pick myself out because I wasn't cheering. I was just looking at the screen. And what a tough day. I always remember that. But you know what? The real answer here is, and it's never going to happen, just don't buy tickets and don't watch them anymore. It's just, they're going to be the same next year. They can't get rid of those contracts. This is a team that's just wallowing right now in the water without a leader. And you know, I don't think we can expect anything different next year.
Probably not. They're stuck. I mean, they're stuck at least for another year or two, probably. I mean, it's unfortunate because
he's got three more years left on that contract.
And Dennis could call. It starts now, the extension. Actually, it hadn't kicked in yet. This kicks in when next season starts.
We said it was insane when it happened.
Yes.
And it's even more insane.
It's one of those things when that contract came across, Riyadh, like everyone looked like, wait, what? Wait, excuse me? Three years on top of what he had?
And I forget who reported it.
With a bum knee.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody had reported that even Embiid was surprised that they came to him with the contract extension.
Wait, you want to hand me how much money?
Okay.
Sure.
I don't blame him for signing it. I would have done the same thing.
No, that's on Maury and that's on Harris and that's
Maury.
On them.
Hope he's enjoying Chicago.
Yeah, away from all of us. All right, Ria, we appreciate you hopping on. Feel better, and we will we will talk to you next week. All right, a lot to get to. We'll get to the other sweep that happened this weekend as well. The Flyers won the beginning of an era. We'll talk about their season ending, our thoughts on the Flyers as they go down on Saturday night to the Hurricanes, and your take on the Sixers, 215-592-9494. A tough ending yesterday. I think yesterday we saw the end of the Joel Embiid era. Now, how long it takes for it to actually become practically the ending, we'll see. But for me, it's over. The Embiid era ended yesterday, would have thought. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.